Beyond Athletic, episode 44.
I don't know how to describe good, but when I felt the first time, I'm present. I'm only thinking about this one moment, this one ball.
You might be smarter, your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are Beyond Athletic.
Welcome back, Beyond Athletic listeners. So happy to have you here for another episode. Today is an athlete case study with a longtime friend. Actually, I met this young volleyballer in Schwerin, Germany. So when I was in Deutschland, I had a player there through Elite Volley Agency by the name of Rachel Van Meter, now McClellan. And while she was there, I came to visit. And during that visit, this volleyball teammate of hers offered, hey, why don't you guys come to this, you know, dinner at my family's house? And so we went to an authentic German dinner. Can't remember the exact holiday. I think it was around Christmas time, so maybe there, or maybe it was in the spring. I can't remember, but I do remember one thing, and it's walking into this house feeling like a giant, first of all, and eating so much good food. Oh my goodness, it was amazing. And in that time, I got to know Barrett because this was her family's home, and we stayed in touch. She moved throughout Europe. You'll hear about some of the places she's played in. You'll also see that in the show notes. So just make sure to go to beyondathletic.com/44 for the episode. Any episode, you can always go to beyondathletic.com/ and put the number of the episode and you'll get whichever episode that is. But I think you're really going to enjoy this one today with Barrett Kaufeld of the German national team. She's a middle. She's been playing Champions League the last couple years. Last year in Poland, she didn't get to really play as much as I think she should have. And this year, she's been able to play some more. So lots of growing to see from this player, I'm sure. She is a tremendous person. She takes care of herself so diligently. And she's very German in the way that she does things. And I actually like that. German's one of the very few languages that I've actually just learned and picked up over time. So this is also the first episode recording with our new mic. And I want to just say a huge thank you to Ryan DeWitt, which is a longtime friend from the States. When I started raising money to hopefully buy equipment for beyondathletic.com, he was the first person to donate. And I couldn't be more just happy and grateful as a person to have such a great friend and guy in my life. And then secondly, RJ Abella, who is coaching at South Carolina, the Gamecocks. Right now they're in their beach season. Hopefully his team, someone on that team, accepts the Beyond Athletic Challenge. If you haven't heard about it, go to beyondathletic.com/Snapchat. Snapchat, I used to think, oh my God, these people, they're just, you know, putting all these selfies and videos, me. And then I realized, oh my gosh, this whole idea of having a story that you could tell throughout a day, 24 hours, is a great platform to utilize for athletes to show everyone, hey, this is my life when I'm doing these things wherever I am. So it's fantastic. We've got people going on there. Barrett's doing it. Gabby Coeva did it. Dustin Wadden of Team USA. So make sure to find them on Snapchat, Instagram, whatever, and you'll see more info about that. But we're taking people entering that until the 11th of April, and then we're going to pick some winners, and we're going to make a short film about what it's like to be an international athlete playing abroad, whether you're a pro or college player. So that's so much for the intro and the happy news about the mic. And I'm just so excited to let you get into this episode with Barrett. tons of little nuggets of advice that are just golden. Enjoy.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Beyond Athletic podcast. It's been a while since I was recording these, but today I'm excited because I'm starting with a friend, an old friend that I actually met up in Schwerin in Deutschland, in Germany. And it's been so long since we first met, but it's such a great thing to have her on today. Just make sure that if you are listening, that you tweet this out to your friends, people you might think will enjoy this. This is an athlete case study. We're going to talk about how she got into volleyball and where she's at now, and then give you some tools, some tips, some things that'll help you optimize your path to whatever kind of success you're looking for. So welcome to the show, Barrett.
Hello.
So today we have on Barrett Kaufeld. She is from where?
I'm coming from Schwerin.
Schwerin. I love it. When you say it, it's fantastic. When I say it, it's kind of like, eh. So just to give a brief bio so you guys know a little bit about her, and then you can fill in the blanks, Barrett, when you get your chance to talk about your story up until now, but then also when we go through the podcast in general, I think some of these things will come up. But she was born in Northern Germany. That's also where Schwerin is. I'm not sure how far it is from you, but Parchim, right?
Yeah, Parchim is 40 kilometers away.
Okay. And you started volleyball when you were very young. You're going to tell what age that is. You had one younger brother. Your parents were divorced since you were four. You always lived with your mom. I always lived with my dad. When you were 13, you left home to go to a sports school to practice volleyball and get better. You lived in a boarding school, and then you graduated as basically one of the smartest kids in your school, I'm sure. You played on the junior national team since you were 14, which is awesome. You got to the senior national team in 2008. You've been there ever since. You had a European championship in 2007. You're a world champion in 2009 with the junior national team, and vice European champion in 2011. Got a bronze at the Grand Prix with the seniors. And in Germany, you won the league three times with what team?
Schwerin.
Schwerin. Where actually that's where we met, because Rachel Van Meter, a girl that I had with my agency, elitevolley.com, was playing there. And then you won the cup once. And then you left Germany. You've been everywhere. Let's see, Italy, Poland, and now Baku. And right. You studied in school psychology, which I love because I studied that also. So you might get a little bit into that. And you will graduate this spring, right? This summer?
Yeah, I'm writing my bachelor thesis right now.
You're writing your bachelor's now.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you go ahead and fill in some of those blanks, tell the story growing up, how it was for you, easy, hard, you know, what type of neighborhood were you in, and then how was life as a kid going through school, being a girl, being an athlete, what other sports might you have played, and then how you got into volleyball, and take us to where you are now and how it is there, just briefly.
Well, I think your description was quite good. So I started volleyball more or less for funny coincidence, because I had a friend who played volleyball already, and she one day put all her drink above her sports shoes, and she had to go to practice after. We always did homework together, and we had sport also in school this day, and she took my shoes, and obviously it was 3, 4, 5 numbers bigger than hers, but she took it for going to practice, and the coach said, what kind of shoes do you wear? It's way too big. And she said, oh, it's my friend from school, and I pour water over mine. And he was like, how old is your friend? And she's like, oh, she's my age. And then the coach said, like, okay, bring this girl here into this gym, and we will look at her. And so, yeah, well, I did it and started volleyball when I was 11. Yeah, like you said, they called me to the sports school when I was 13. And I run all my student life there until I graduated high school. And then I went for university on a kind of university only for distance for psychology.
So you learned online?
Yeah, I learned online and the things they sent me, like kind of books written for psychology.
Well, that's rad. And then take us to where you are today.
I'm playing right now in Baku for Lokomotiv.
Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan, right? Yeah, I'm playing here Champions League. We just won the first playoff match against Voluri Zurich yesterday evening. And I'm playing in the national team since I'm 18. And I hope to be there also next summer.
Yeah, I hope so also. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for walking us through it in from your perspective. Why don't we start this off, give a little tone to this podcast with a favorite quote of yours, something that, you know, could make you happy, hype you up, whatever, and just tell what it means to you.
Well, I think about one quote I read only some weeks ago, and it said, may your choices reflect your hopes, not your fears. And for me, it says, like, I think sometimes I take decisions with fear, but I give one example. When you asked me, you want to be on the podcast, my first thought was, well, my English is too bad and can I tell enough? So no. But then I was deleting my answer for sure. And maybe you saw that. And I was writing, sure, let's do it. Mm-hmm. And then that was because I was thinking about this quote, actually.
I see. And that quote is by the Dalai Lama himself.
Oh, you know everything.
Or I might have got a little bit of a hint. So if you're listening, by the way, this podcast is going to have a complimentary blog post, and in that blog post we're going to go through some of the highlights of what we were talking about here. It's great because then you'll have a link that you can share with a friend. You can play the audio directly from there, but we're going to give you another quote from Barrett there as a little bit of a bonus. Now, before we get into the questions about your career and all these things, find out like what's happened to you and then your takeaways, let's talk about some of the people that helped you get there, because it's one of the things that I know you're into. I'm into a lot of athletes that are at a higher level and people that just operate at a different, let's say, wavelength than most out there that are stressed and all of that, is that they all have one thing in common, is that they're very grateful. And usually these people are very humble people. So whether their gratitude is spoken or whether it's just acknowledged internally, that this leads to great things. And these people carry us through life when we're high and when we're low, because we're doing the same thing for them. They compliment us in those ways and we compliment them. So who were, let's say, one or two influential people / mentors in your life until now? And if you could give one in life and sport, that'd be fantastic.
Well, I think for sport, for volleyball, I don't have one special person, but I can say that from the coaches I had, I could learn something from everybody. They were really different in many ways, but I was so lucky sometimes. I think, yeah, when I was younger, I had often coaches which taught me a lot of technical stuff, and I could raise in those topics. And okay, one example, I came here to Baku after quite hard season, and I was, my self-confidence was not very high, and I got a coach who was so positive. He just told me, I'm good like I am, and was exactly what I needed this moment to get up again. And now we changed coach. I didn't want that, but it happened. And now we have a coach who is like into techniques, tactics, and I can learn so much. So in sport, it was my coaches, and in personal life, thinking a lot about Christian Bischoff. It's a German life coach or motivation coach. I don't know how you want to call it. But he's doing seminars. He wrote some books. I was reading it, and also my boyfriend, and we both really liked it. It helped us a lot in many situations. And he's talking about discipline, endurance, focus, but about also love and forgiving. Basically life.
Yeah, basically life, exactly. And so these people in your lives, these coaches, your, let's say this life coach, what value do you get from those? And were they always one-way streets? I mean, with your coaches, were you also able to have an open line of communication with these coaches that you got the most from?
Sorry, I didn't understand what you
asked. So like, for instance, you have some people who say, here's how you do something, do it. You have some people who say, hey, what do you need help with? Here's what I see. How do you feel with this? What are you seeing, for instance, if you watch your video or if you notice how you're feeling, things like this. So it's like one side, it's only pushing from one side information. The other way is some give and take, some information here, some communication here, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So with this life coach, I feel I know him also personally. That's really cool because I wrote him once a mail and he answered and we're still in touch. And with him, it's like inspiring for me to read this. It's not information, but it gives me some input to change my life or to change habits or, yeah, to just like this. And with those coaches, I try to inhale what they say, take the best out and work with that. And for, of course, every coach has also bad sides and I don't want to use those.
Mm-hmm. So you filter the information.
Yeah.
Got it. Nice. Those are good tips. I mean, people out there listening, I think if you're younger or older, there's a lot of value in what you just said, is that you don't always have to look at things as, okay, I don't like these things and put so much weight on these. You could say, okay, I like these little things. I'm going to take these out and I'm going to use them. Some of the best advice I got in the coaching realm of sport was from Hugh McCutcheon. And I called him one season very just like lost. What do I do with this coaching situation? This guy is just, oh, it was horrible. Trust me, nightmare. And he said, you know, something great. He said, listen to what the coach is saying. Take out what you can. Work on that. And when it comes to game time, you use what you feel works best for you. You try to work on the things that the coach thinks, you know, is best. And at the game time, if those help you, great. If not, you rely on what you know internally. You don't overthink it. So some great information, I think some great takeaways from both of those. So let's get into your story. Let's start off with not so glamorous side, with some time that you struggled in your career, your volleyball career, and tell us how that was. Put us in that moment. Like, we want to, if it was sunny, if it was, you know, a ton of fans, if it was quiet, if it was hot, if it was cold, we want to visualize it. We want to be in that moment with you. And then tell us how you felt about that and what your lesson that you could take away from that and move forward with and be better the next time.
Well, I can say last season in Poland, I struggled because I expected so much of this season. This was, if I could choose one club, I wanted to go there because of one coach, because I know the situation and okay, I wanted to go there and I got there. And when I was there, I found out, okay, I will not play. The coach changed his mind basically. So I knew he can teach me so much, but in the end, it wasn't like that. Plus, the team was a bunch of girls, but not a team.
A bunch of individuals.
Yeah. Okay. If it's the English way, yes. Okay, it has how's it called? Ausnahmen?
Expectations.
No, it has, every rule has one.
Every rule has one?
Exception.
Oh, exception.
It has for sure exceptions. So like there were great teammates also, but in general, it was like that. Mm-hmm. I had some hard time in general, mm-hmm. but I started focusing more on myself, on developing myself. I started also doing yoga. I started read about nutrition. And one key moment was when I recognized, okay, like I'm responsible for my own. Like there's no coach who can tell me how I have to be, or no teammates who can say, who can make me worse or bad, because I can decide what will be in my head, what I put, what I eat. I decide on my own, which thoughts I create, I decide on my own. And I think this was how I got over.
Rad. I love it. Those are fantastic takeaways. And I think anybody listening will be able to relate in some small way or big way, because as athletes, we're going to go through these struggles. And I'm sure it's not the only time you struggled. We took a highlight, one small section of so many years that you've been playing, right? And I think the takeaway there where you just said, okay, I'm in this situation. What can I do as a solution? So you sought a solution and you said, okay, I'm gonna learn about nutrition. I'm gonna get my body even better. I'm gonna get my mind right. I'm gonna feed myself the things that I need in multiple areas to survive and grow, right? Because when we're challenged, we have two choices. We can either run away from that challenge, or we could grab on hold of that challenge, like riding a bull or riding, you know, a horse in the wild, and say, I'm going to make this happen, whether or not that horse or bull likes it. And in this case, that's life and that's athletics. So I'm really proud of you, because I know about that situation and I know exactly how it is. And I think that'll be a podcast for another time when somebody has me on their podcast, because I'm not in that story.
Yeah,
right.
But I want to add, like when I went to the gym, I always tried hard. I didn't give up.
Mm-hmm. You were still there. You were present.
My positive volleyball moments, I got now not from matches, but I got it in practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want, like I cannot, after each day, I want to say, okay, I tried hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is important too. Thank you for sharing that, because sometimes even though you're struggling, you still have to be there and work hard. For instance, this is my first time accepting a deal in a situation where I wasn't going to be a starter. I knew that. I knew I would have to work at that position, at two different positions actually, and learn how to be the player who could come in off the bench and still perform at a high level. And that's a totally different perspective. So at some point, I remember I was really struggling here, and I said, you know what? I choose how I'm going to move forward. Either I'm going to wallow in this, or I'm going to go after it 100%. I'm going to give everything I can in training, out of training, and I'm going to come away from this a better me and hopefully have improved my team in some big or small way. It doesn't matter. So let's move on to the next thing in your career. So we talked about struggles. There definitely were struggles before last year, right? And because you had to learn how to play volleyball. And volleyball is one of those sports where it's so many little things that make up these big things. And there's a lot of big things that make up the ultimate thing, which is getting a point. When was your light bulb moment in your career where you moved from good to great in your mind, in terms of great being national team level? Like, when was that light bulb moment where it just clicked and things started working for you?
Well, I cannot remember it so long time ago, but also some months ago, I had one really aha moment.
A moment, yeah.
When I I don't know how to describe good, but when I felt the first time, I'm present. I'm only thinking about this one moment, this one ball. Okay, every coach is telling you, don't only think about the next ball, only think about the next block. But this was the moment when I felt it, when I don't know if I tried differently or what it happened. I felt, okay, only this one ball is important. Like, mm-hmm. It's me and the ball and the setter. It's not, can I hit it? Can I not hit it? It's not about, like, there's something, somebody looking at me. What did I do the last ball? What will I do the next ball? How many percentage I have until now or nothing? It doesn't matter, because the only thing which you can change is this right now. And when I held it instead of only knowing it, this was like, wow.
I love that. I love that you mentioned that. That right there just made this whole podcast worth it. Like, that is one huge knowledge bomb. Because how old are you, Barrett?
25.
And you just had that aha moment where people talk about this all the time. And honestly, I've found that moment and I've lost that moment. And right now I'm looking for it. So I'm doing everything I can to get structure back in my life so that I can just drop everything that's happening and be in the moment. And so what you just said was beautifully said. There's nothing else more to say about it. So thank you so much for sharing that. What I want to talk about now is, you probably have a lot of proud moments. You know, you've accomplished a bunch. We went through some of the things, but that's not all. There's more that you've accomplished. We'll share that in your bio. I'll have a link to your CV. But could you share one moment, if you were to pick any one that you're very proud about, one moment that it could be anything in life. It doesn't have to be athletic.
Okay, so I will not mention, like, accomplishment in sports, because you will put this one. But I can say I'm very proud to have 7-year relationship. Yeah, I think that's a big thing. And both of us, we made a good job. So I'm proud on that. And of course, to having almost my bachelor. And maybe one moment when I was very proud was when my best friend, she knows me till I come to this boarding school in Schwerin. And when we were on Skype and she told me, wow, you're so inspiring to me. I think this is a so big compliment. And from a person which is so close, I felt very proud this moment.
That's right. I love that. So I like what that shows is that I remember when I was younger, volleyball, I was consumed by volleyball. All I wanted, I ate, slept, everything volleyball. I'm just like, when can I touch a volleyball? When can I play? Blah, blah, blah. I was all about it. And, you know, I still am all about it to some degree. But at that point in my life, I really was just like, oh my God, volleyball is what I need. Volleyball is everything. And I'm going to go so far and do these things. And I want to be the best I could be. And my vision of what being happy was included volleyball to a big degree. And I think that as an athlete now, like you, I'm in the place where I take a lot of joy and gratitude in the relationships that I have with people and that I've built. And I think you'll agree with me on this. Traveling around the world and being wherever you came from, you can build some of the most tremendous relationships. And really, it's one of the biggest joys that you can get in life are these strong relationships. So focusing in on those and taking care of them is really important. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. So let's talk about this season. I want you to talk about a volleyball moment now and talk about one of your proudest moments, what happened in that moment, whether, you know, we're talking about like a point in a match or a match in general, and just kind of how it felt. Put us like, you know, like I talked about, paint a picture for us. We want to feel how it was. So tell us if it was loud, tell us. If it was quiet, like a church, tell us. Whatever it was, the score, why it was so important, and then what that meant to you moving forward in the rest of the season.
Well, I'm most proud when I do blocking points, like this kind of direct blocking points, especially from, like, when I see the when I can see over the net. They are, it's not always, but sometimes you can see over the net, you see the ball and you can just, you know, you will do the this block and then it touched your hand and just go down, bam, bam. And I can do my celebrating move. So this is, I had a couple.
I totally want to ask you to show us what that is, but I think I'm going to find a clip of it and post it in your blog entry.
Yeah, these are the moments when I'm most proud. And then I can look in the round of my teammates and they were like, yeah. Yeah.
That's right. So what was one moment? What was one block recently? Like, take us to that moment. I'm not letting you get out of this. Take us to one huge block that just made you go crazy inside and outside. What match was it? Who was it against?
Well, I remember yesterday night, the last point, we were up 14-10. Zurich comes to 14-14 and we go 15-14 and we need one point to win the first playoff match in Champions League.
In the top 12.
And I blocked this outside Mamadova, what the coach was telling me all the time about going diagonal. And I really blocked it. It didn't go to the ground, but we made the point.
Cool. We're going to have to share that. And I watched that match, so I know exactly what you're talking about. All right. Let's move it forward and talk about what you're most excited for coming up in the future and just kind of touch on that. Because the reason why I asked you about this moment is because these moments matter so much to us because we set goals for ourselves. And I'm not sure how you work with goals in terms of if you keep them in your mind, if you write them down, if you put them up in front of yourself, if you have short term, long term, medium term, all that kind of stuff. But and we'll talk about that a little bit right at the end, but we're going to wrap up in about, I don't know, 6-7 minutes. What are you most excited about moving forward in your life right now? Volleyball or otherwise?
Sure. I'm excited about volleyball. I'm excited about this this season to getting the Azerbaijan Cup, whatever we can win here. this league, about moving forward in Champions League. I was never further than now. Like, I was in Champions League playoff now the second time, but I never won it. So I'm excited for that for sure. And in my personal life, I'm excited to go on for my master. When I finish this bachelor, I want to go on with master in health prevention and sport psychology. So I'm looking forward that it comes to some more practical stuff finally.
What's your goal with that? If I can just jump in there, what's your goal with getting your master's? Like, what do you want to do with that after you get it? So this is post volleyball, I'm guessing.
Well, it could be volleyball, of course, but I think I would like to work in health prevention to help people to stay healthy. I kind of plan also to make a yoga teacher and maybe meditation teacher and to combine this.
Kind of like whole encompassing circle health. I mean, because there's something that I work with kids with elite sports students or elite squared, I like to call it, which is building the foundation for young athletes, which is as athletes, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty certain that growing up, you were told that there was a physical aspect to sport and there was a mental aspect. And at some point we learn, whether it's through a ton of it emotionally, that there's an emotional aspect. So there's emotional health, mental, and physical. And then there's one more, which is social. And so what you're talking about is really building people full circle, because yoga and all of these other things are just little parts to create this whole healthy person, right?
Yeah.
Boom. So, all right, let's kind of switch gears here. Let's move into the last section. What I'd like to do is give you a chance to walk us through really quickly from the time that you're preparing to go to sleep. So you're winding down for the evening. How does that look? Going to sleep, obviously, you go to sleep, and then you wake up. What's your ritual until you get to training that next day? Trying to build a picture for other athletes on how elite athletes are kind of like manufacturing their day to get the most out of their days and performance.
Okay, so also the evening, you want to know?
Yeah.
In the evening, well, we get food in the gym. So basically, I come home. Maybe I Skype or don't do anything. Usually I prepare one pomegranate for the next morning by peeling it, because it takes some time and I don't want to do it in the morning. But then I only brush my teeth, wash my face, put cream, heat up I have one doll which you can put into the microwave and it gets warm.
And it what?
It gets warm.
Okay.
It's a doll animal. How you call it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Teddy bear, I don't know, whatever you have. You have some kind of stuffed animal that you can heat up.
Yeah, stuffed animal, and then you can heat up. So I do this, take it to my bed, and we both sleep. And the first thing in the morning when my alarm rings, basically it's seven or eight, and I go to sleep between 10:30, 11. So I try to have a stable rhythm. The first thing I do is put oil in my mouth and do oil pulling for 20 minutes. While I'm doing this, I dress. I prepare my muesli with all nice ingredients I can find. While it soaks, I put out the oil and brush my teeth for the first time. I prepare my bag for practice, come to sit on my table and eat my breakfast. After, I watch the first time on my phone what's up after I eat, and then I look how much time I have to make a good meditation before I leave my home to practice.
I see. And then how early do you like to show up to training to be ready for actually starting?
Well, I don't have a choice here because we are all going with the bus. So the bus comes and take me and I have to be there with everybody else. But yeah, usually I like to be there, I don't know, 20 minutes before at least. Like 10 minutes before in the gym. That was my rule when I didn't have to go with the bus.
I see. And now that you have to go with the bus, how early are you there?
Much too early, because many athletes have to tape anything or put creams from the physiotherapist. This takes time, and I basically need one tape for my finger. And so the rest of the time I have for stretching and rolling,
okay,
like doing stuff with elastic bands, something like that.
And let's move it on to just a couple last things, some tips and tools to help other people, things that have worked for you. And why don't you go through real quick a book, just give one book, the name of it, the author, if you know it, and then what that book meant to you, how it's helped you briefly, and then give a tool or habit that you like to use. Like, for instance, meditation, is there something that assists you with that? Or it could be, you know, reading in general, whatever it is, some habit you like to stay healthy with. And then the other things are going to be bonuses for people that go to the blog and read it. So go ahead and start with those two things, a book and then a tool or habit that you like to stay healthy with.
Okay. Of course, I could mention so many books, but I want to mention one that I'm using right now. So the English name is How to Train a White Elephant and Other Adventures in Mindfulness. It's basically 52 exercises, so one for every week in the year, about awareness. So right now, this week, my exercise is notice your body posture. And then it has some tools how you can remind yourself during the day. And after you did it for a couple of days, you can read some more like small abstract about what does it mean actually to go in it more deeply. Mm-hmm. And this is for every week it has some things you are aware of, and I love it. I really feel I get a better person. So because 1 week I didn't leave any trays in my kitchen. So I washed everything. I exited my kitchen. I washed everything. I dried everything. And until now, it's still like this. Like it was 3-4 weeks ago. And I kept it somehow. Then one exercise was use your not dominant hand. So until now, I eat every soup with my left hand.
Mm-hmm.
Such small things. And I'm looking forward for what's coming next week.
All right. I love that. Who is that by?
Jan Chosen Bass.
Okay. And we'll put, she's holding it up. Great. Say something so it'll code to you while you hold it up.
This is a book I was talking about.
Rad. We got that. So I'm going to put that in the show notes, which is that blog post. Why don't you give a tool or habit that you like to use to stay healthy? And then we're going to kind of go through a little bit of an overview, and we're going to give you a way to say goodbye and how people can connect with you.
So one tool, okay, I have to choose or my Thermomix or meditation. Okay, I will take you to my meditation. And this is one tool I'm using since I'm here in Baku. I am basically the first day I arrived because I learned it in an 8-week practice. And it helps me a lot to be present about my thoughts, to be more in balance the whole day. And I love to do it every morning.
Nice. And I'm going to give about 9 or 10 more extras for people that are going to read the blog. And hopefully when you read that, you'll share that with other people to see what's working for Barrett. So before I give you a chance to let people know how to connect with you and give you a chance to give some parting pieces of wisdom, because you have played in a lot of different places, you've had a lot of different experiences, and wherever we are in life, we always have something of value to offer to somebody who hasn't accomplished those things that we've accomplished, even though we might be far from where we want to be or where we want to be. So what I want to do, though, is I want to ask you, what is your definition of being more than an athlete?
My definition for being more than an athlete is if you can respect all people and all people equally and feel kind of empathy for the people you're acting with.
I see. Thank you for adding that. So what would be your parting piece of wisdom or pieces? You can give it in the format of however you want, or you could say, like, this is you talking to the younger you. Like, this is Barrett now talking to the 17 or 16-year-old Barrett on, hey, don't do these things or do these things. And then let people know how they can catch up with you, whether, you know, it's online or any other way.
Okay, talking to my younger me, maybe I would say never stop trying. Try your best, and that's enough. I think that would help me to don't put myself under so big pressure. So you will try your best, and that's good enough. Mm-hmm. You know? You cannot do more than try your best.
Love it.
And to catch up with me means what, my name on Facebook?
Whatever. If you want athletes to be able to reach out to you, for instance, if there's younger athletes out there who really liked what Barrett had to say and you connected with her, you resonated with her on some level, and you'd like to reach out like she did to one of her mentors, who knows, it could be a shot in the dark, but a way that they could do that. And then, any way to follow along your journey in volleyball.
I have a personal Facebook page. It's called Berit Kauf without Feld. And one where I'm sharing more about volleyball is a fan page called Berit Kaufeld, like my name. And where I'm posting sometimes about my food or my yoga practice is on Instagram. My name is my name, Berit Kaufeld.
All together.
Yep, but you will find it anyhow. And Twitter, I'm not capable of. There are sometimes some things, but it's connected to my Facebook. And that's it.
All right. So you guys heard it there. That's how you can connect with her and keep up with what's going on. You can always find her games that she's already played on Laola. That's LAOLATV.Eins, I think, .1. LaolaEins.TV. Yeah, it's LAOLA1.TV. Now I got it right. But that link's going to be in the podcast blog post. And then before I let you go, I just want to say two things. I'm very grateful for having you on, for you saying yes when you knew you were a little bit uncomfortable with it, knowing that you would grow probably from doing this and you would help others grow. And that selflessness to me means so much. And I hope that that means a lot to other people. And that if people do like that, make sure you show her some love by tweeting this out, maybe commenting on her fan page, letting her know that you enjoyed this and how it impacted you. Or you can tweet at me at Beyond Athletic or at Ryan, J-A-Y Owens. And I just want to say, Barrett, that I acknowledge you for all the hard work that you put in. I remember where you were when I saw you in Schwerin with Rachel, and I've seen you from the time you went to Italy to Poland and now. And I just got to say that what you're doing is incredible in volleyball, and what you're doing outside of volleyball, the relationship that you've had for 7 years that is so strong, and the outlook that you have on life with personal development, I think is a very, very huge example for everyone out there of a standard that we can all reach for. So thank you so much for that. And then lastly, if anybody's interested in mentorship from athletes like Barrett, like myself, like many others in different sports, make sure you Google Elite Sports Students. Elite Sports Students is a global organization founded with the goal of leveraging sports to drive opportunities and develop the next generation of world leaders in sport, life, business, all that good stuff. And we like to say there's an emphasis on female and male counterpart equality, because I see that there's too much injustice and too much inequality in the genders. And I think the sport is a great way not only to create equality with genders, but also socially with totally different, diverse races and backgrounds of people. So if you're willing to help as a mentor or do anything with that project, make sure you go to beyondathletic.com/help. And I thank you again, Barrett, for being on, and everybody out there, I appreciate you, and I hope you listen again.
Bye.
So, how'd you like it? I enjoyed it. It was a great fun. I love the fact that she's so defined about what she needs to be doing during a day and really how she wants to go about life, how proud she is of her relationship, which is very hard to actually have relationships while you're an athlete traveling. It's the reason why I'm still single, you know? It's very tough. So huge respect goes out to her for just taking care of everything, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, and just being so on top of her health and her path. So if you like this, make sure you share it out everywhere. You know the deal. Facebook, tweet, Instagram. Leave a review. It's going to tell us how we can make this show better. Anyways, until next time, be more. Aha, one quick side note. Actually, Barrett is doing the snap challenge today that we have. So hashtag Beyond Athletic, snap story, and you will find out who's accepted our challenge. So make sure you add her on Snapchat. It's her full name smashed together. So Barrett Kaufeld, all in one. Check out what she's doing today as a pro athlete in Baku, Azerbaijan. Cool stuff. Ciao.
So now I'm up in the courts, pleading my case from the witness box. Telling the judge and the jury the same thing that I said to the cops on the day that I got arrested.
What are we doing live? Echoes in eternity.
I'm gonna show you how great I am.
And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.